Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, we've sung songs this morning about he'll give me everything I need. I lack nothing. Praise God. How often do we muddle through our day and just kind of never really seem to make much progress in our lives? And we fight and lose the same battles time and time again. And here's the Lord loving us and saying, I've got what you need. I want you to look to me in everything. Praise God. Well, Paul got that, didn't he? I want to know about that. I want to know that power. I don't want to just know about it. I want to experience that power in a way that makes a difference in my life. Anybody here need that? Yeah, I certainly do. But now there's a way to get there. It says, and participation in his sufferings. Now, sufferings has to do with things that our old nature wants. But yet, because we deny our old nature in some fashion, our old nature is denied what we think we want, then it suffers. It doesn't like it. It wants something different, and it's constantly complaining and wanting this and longing after that. My God, that's what our nature is about. It just never satisfies. You can't satisfy it. I don't care what you do and how you cater to it. You will never, ever satisfy this old nature. And I tell you, when it's denied, when choosing to do what God wants takes you one way and your nature wants to go another, it's suffering. And ultimately, that's what Jesus lived, was a life of carrying his cross daily, just as he called his followers to do, to lay down their lives. But ultimately, it got very literal for him, didn't it? He got to the point where he laid down everything and was willing to be put in a grave because he understood God's plan was not to leave him there, but was to bring him out with a life that could never die and was victorious over sin and death and everything else. This is what he came to share with us. Praise God. I want more of that, don't you? All right, thank the Lord. And that participation in his sufferings, that expression comes up in, I believe it's 1 Peter 4, when it talks about don't be surprised at the fiery trials. That's what he's talking about in that passage. Because what's happening is you are participating in the sufferings of Christ. When there's something that we're pushed into a choice, am I going to give in to my old nature or am I going to trust God? Am I going to worship, for example, when I don't feel like it and things don't look right and they aren't what I want? Am I going to believe God enough to humble myself and surrender and praise him and thank him? There's some suffering going on, isn't it? My old nature doesn't like it. But you know, there's something happening to it that it begins to lose its hold, and that's what the Lord is looking for. So Paul is wanting to experience that participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, meaning I have renounced what this flesh wants, what this world stands for. I have laid it aside because I get where he's going with this, and that's what I want. All right? And here's one that could be misunderstood very easily. And so, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, that almost sounds like, oh God, I've got to get it all right if I'm going to possibly be resurrected someday. No, that's not what he's talking about. I need resurrection right now. Think about this. Think about what he describes in other places about what baptism means. What is baptism about? Baptism is a confession. It's an identification of the person being baptized with Jesus. Well, what does it signify being put in the water and brought back up? Dying, being buried, and being resurrected to a new life. What Paul is saying here is, I want to get to that point where I can live a new life. This is not some way down the stream of time here where, you know, I'm going to get to a place where, okay, and I'm going to have a new body, everything's going to be wonderful. That's true enough. But Paul wants to experience that now. And he says the pathway to get to new life is to let go of the old one. To be willing to identify myself so completely with his death that I cooperate with the process that makes that real and practical in my everyday life. I need that, don't you? Praise the Lord. Okay. So he immediately jumps in and said, look, I'm not there yet. Not that I have already obtained all this. So there's something, just the very word obtained, doesn't that tell you something? There's something that God has that I need. And there's some part of me that is reaching out to lay hold of that. I wonder how many things that we go through where God is wanting us to do that instead of sitting there and reacting how we typically react. God, you've got what I need in this circumstance, so I'm going to reach out. I'm going to lay hold of that. Praise God. Okay? Okay, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, I mentioned earlier that the context of this is God, is Jesus calling us, but I'll tell you, it's deeper than that, isn't it? Paul wasn't just called, he was taken hold of. Now, that doesn't mean his will was just totally blanked out and overpowered, but rather there was a hold. Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Praise God, that's what I want. I need him to have a hold of my life. My life is, where is my life? In his hands. Folks, that's what it means to belong to Christ. Belong to Christ. It means we don't own ourselves. We have so given ourselves over to him that he is now free to work out the purpose for which he has called us to his kingdom. And man, we need to be in a position where he gets to do what he wants and he knows what he wants and knows what we need. Now, getting there and living that out is not as easy as it sounds just saying it, is it? This is a process. And here's Paul himself with all that he has experienced at this point in his ministry. And he's having to say, look, I'm not there yet. See, Paul's already in Rome. He's been through a lot. They tried to kill him. They tried to do all kinds of things. And he's just writing to other believers saying, look, I haven't got there yet either, but I understand the process. I understand what the Lord is looking for from me right now, sitting here in this house in Rome under guard, waiting to go come before Caesar so I can find out if he's going to kill me or not. I understand where God has me. I'm in his hands, and my job is to listen to him and cooperate and do what he wants me to do. There are things that there's a reason I'm here. The experiences that I'm having right now in my life are not an accident. Think of the implications of that. They're not an accident. They are by design. The same one who called me knows what it takes to shape me. Think about the illustrations that are used in the scripture about the potter and the clay. But I'm afraid we are awfully stubborn, rebellious bits of clay, aren't we? Lord, I don't understand. Lord, you're making a mistake. Why did you do this? Why that? Why the other thing? Lord, what about that? What about this? What about the other thing? And there we are just constantly critiquing the potter as though we know what's right and we know where we need to be instead of just resting in him and saying, Lord, you know exactly where I need to be. I need to find that place of rest and surrender because I trust you. I know that you love me. I know that you have my best interest at heart, regardless of how it feels to my flesh. In fact, that's central to what he's doing. If he does not deliver me from what I want as a natural man, then he's not doing his job. Think about that. Of course, these things are easy to say in theory. But I'll tell you, there's a lot to this, isn't there? Praise God. All right? So not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. All right? There's a sense of pressing on or of reaching forth, I think it says in one place. But there's something where I get in a situation. Paul realized how the thing worked. I get in a situation and I realize I got a need. I don't know how to handle this. If I just give in to my nature, I'm going to do and say the wrong thing. Oh God. There's something I don't have. But see, the attitude and the sense of his own being was, God hasn't just put me here to defeat me and make me feel bad. He's put me here so that I will, there's so much, everything I need, he's got. But I've got to begin to reach. There's a part of me that is constantly looking. When I feel a need, I'm reaching. Well, does not convey the idea of expectation? Expectance? Why would I reach if I didn't think he cared? Why would I reach if I didn't understand and believe that he does, in fact, have everything that I need? God, help us to have that kind of mentality. This is the way to look at the Christian life. God is going to put us in many kinds of situations where we're going to feel our need. Anybody go out of a service here sometimes? And God's revealed something. Sometimes we'll go out and, boy, I just feel great. I'm ready to lick the world spiritually. And then Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening and Monday come along and wham! Anybody ever run into a battle in those times and all of a sudden it just seems like everything, the wheels have come off and everything slams against you? Do you suppose that's just happenstance? Do you suppose that the Lord just is kind of asleep on the job? Do we not realize that everything that comes against us, that makes it necessary to press, is ordered of the Lord? Every single thing. If the devil is allowed to come against you in any fashion, God has not only allowed it, he has ordained it. Because that is the very way that he wants to make you strong. Oh, there's so many things that we need out of that. How do we discover our needs if we don't run into them, run into situations and needs? My God, how do we find them out? How do we find out about that?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.